Control. Walking back toward the control room, Malcolm said, I have one more question, Dr. Wu. How many different species have you made so far?
I'm not exactly sure, Wu said. I believe the number at the moment is 15. 15 species. Do you know, Ed?
Yes, it's 15, Ed Regis said, nodding.
You don't know for sure? Malcolm said, affecting astonishment. Wu smiled.
I stopped counting, he said, after the first dozen. And you have to realize that sometimes we think we have an animal correctly made from the standpoint of the DNA, which is our basic work, and the animal grows for 6 months and then something untoward happens, and we realize there is some error. A releaser gene isn't operating, a hormone not being released, or some other problem in the developmental sequence. So we have to go back to the drawing board with that animal, so to speak, he smiled. At one time I thought I had more than 20 species, but now only 15.
And is one of the 15 species a... Malcolm turned to Grant. What was the name?
Procompsognathus, Grant said.
You have made some Procompsognathuses, or whatever they're called? Malcolm asked.
Oh, yes, Wu said immediately. Compies are very distinctive animals, and we made an unusually large number of them.
Why is that?
Well, we want Jurassic Park to be as real an environment as possible, as authentic as possible. And the Procompsognathids are actual scavengers from the Jurassic period, rather like jackals. So we wanted to have the compies around to clean up.
You mean to dispose of carcasses?
Yes, if there were any. But with only 230-odd animals in our total population, we don't have many carcasses, Wu said. That wasn't the primary objective. Actually, we wanted the compies for another kind of waste management entirely.
Which was?
Well, Wu said, we have some very big herbivores on this island. We have specifically tried not to breed the biggest sauropods, but even so, we've got several animals in excess of 30 tons walking around out there, and many others in the 5 to 10 ton area. That gives us two problems. One is feeding them. And in fact, we must import food to the island every 2 weeks. There is no way an island this small can support these animals for any time. But the other problem is waste.
I don't know if you've ever seen elephant droppings, Wu said, but they are substantial. Each spore is roughly the size of a soccer ball. Imagine the droppings of a brontosaur, 10 times as large. Now imagine the droppings of a herd of such animals as we keep here, and the largest animals do not digest their food terribly well, so that they excrete a great deal. And in the 60 million years since dinosaurs disappeared, apparently the bacteria that specialize in breaking down their feces disappeared too. At least the sauropod feces don't decompose readily.
That's a problem, Malcolm said.
I assure you it is, Wu said, not smiling. We had a hell of a time trying to solve it. You probably know that in Africa there is a specific insect, the dung beetle, which eats elephant feces. Many other large species of associated creatures that have evolved to eat their excrement. Well, it turns out that compies will eat the feces of large herbivores and redigest it. And the droppings of compies are readily broken down by contemporary bacteria, so given enough compies, our problem was solved.
How many compies did you make?
I've forgotten exactly, but I think the target population was 50 animals, and we attained that, or very nearly so, in 3 batches. We did a batch every 6 months until we had the number.
50 animals, Malcolm said, is a lot to keep track of.
The control room is built to do exactly that. They'll show you how it's done.
I'm sure, Malcolm said, but if one of these compies were to escape from the island to get away,
they can't get away.
I know that, but just supposing one did.
You mean like the animal that was found on the beach? Wu said, raising his eyebrows. The one that bit the American girl?
Yes, for example.
I don't know what the explanation for that animal is, Wu said, but I know it can't possibly be one of ours for 2 reasons. First, the control procedures. Our animals are counted by computer every few minutes. If one were missing, we'd know at once.
And the second reason?
The mainland is more than 100 miles away. It takes almost a day to get there by boat. And in the outside world, our animals will die within 12 hours, Wu said.
How do you know?
Because I've made sure that's precisely what will occur, Wu said, finally showing a trace of irritation. Look, we're not fools. We understand these are prehistoric animals. They are part of a vanished ecology, a complex web of life that became extinct millions of years ago. They might have no predators in the contemporary world, no checks on their growth. We don't want them to survive in the wild. So I've made them lysine dependent. I inserted a gene that makes a single faulty enzyme in protein metabolism. As a result, the animals cannot manufacture the amino acid lysine. They must ingest it from the outside. Unless they get a rich dietary source of exogenous lysine supplied by us in tablet form, they'll go into a coma within 12 hours and expire. These animals are genetically engineered to be unable to survive in the real world. They can only live here, in Jurassic Park. They are not free at all. They are essentially our prisoners.